supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about telling lies.
There's no more hunger, no need for shelter. Isn't there enough to share? Or is it that we just don't care? We're here for a day or two. Let me show my way. Salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum.
But first, what date is today? Today, Friday, is the 17th of the month of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Mehr, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter Tawbah, verse 119.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين.
O you who have believed, fear Allah and be with those who are true.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Accompaniment and agreement with truthful ones has an important function in the spiritual progression and the evaluation of men. It may seem familiar with the spiritual and ethical values, so far that the one himself would habitually become one of the truthful ones. Some Islamic narrations denote that the objective meaning of the truthful ones is Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt and the Immaculate Imams, peace be upon them all. It is certain that they were the top of the truthful ones, and the Islamic community has a duty out to follow them.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
Telling lies is the topic of this episode of today's special. Dear friend, liars leave no time for themselves to think or reflect. They rarely think about the possible conclusion, claiming that no one will ever discover their secrets. In their words, we find many mistakes and contradictions. Liars will eternally become covered with shame, failure, and disgrace. It is true, therefore, to say that the liars have bad memories. One of the factors which spread this resentful trait which poisons social manners is the saying, constructive lying is better than the painful truth. This saying has become a veil to cover this lonely trait, and many people resort to it in order to justify their resentful lie. Islam and reason command that if a Muslim's soul, honor, or essential belongings are endangered, it is his obligation to defend them by any means possible, including lying. It is a valid maxim that say necessities legalize the prohibited. Necessary lying has its limitations. If men widen the circle of constructiveness to include their personal wishes and lust, there would not be a lie without a so-called need behind it.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the abominable consequences of telling lies in Islam. Imam al-Hasan al-Askari, as the 11th infallible Imam in a piece of hadith, indicated in this way, جُعِلَتَ الْخَبَائِثِ كُلُّهَا فِي بَيْتٍ وَجَعَلَ مِفْتَحُ الْكَذِبَ All vices are collected in one place, and the key of that place is telling lies. It means that telling lies leads the liar to practicing all kinds of vices. According to Imam Ali al-Islam elsewhere, he prohibited people from befriending liars. And then we find that not only befriending liars, but also when someone is known as a liar, people seldom rely on them. And they would certainly lose their reputation, both among the own family members and whatever they cooperate with. According to Islamic instructions and according to some prophetic hadiths, amongst the gravest sins, there are one of them, mistreating one's parents and telling lies.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Other tip for breaking a lying habit. You can tell the truth without telling all if acquaintances, co-workers or family members ask prying questions about your personal life, you might feel tempted to lie and get them off your back. At the same time, you aren't obligated to give everyone open access to your life. You don't have to lie to avoid sharing details you'd rather keep private. Instead, try a polite but firm refusal, such as, "That's between me and the name of your wife or husband," or "I'd rather not say." If they know you won't tell them anything, they may stop asking sooner. Is lying ever justified? There are very few justifications for lying in Islam. The Prophet directed us to tell the truth, even under the harshest circumstances of oppression. However, one may choose not to tell the truth when he is being oppressed and there is a real danger to his life if he speaks the truth. A cruel king ordered an innocent villager present in his court to be executed due to the villager's lack of manners. Hearing this, the villager began cursing the king in his native language. The king asked his minister, who understood the man's language, to tell him what the man was saying. The wise minister, instead of telling the truth, told the king that the man was sorry for his conduct and was praising his greatness. The king was affected and therefore spared the life of the innocent villager.
In another hadith, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi afdhal as-salatu was-salam says, "La yajidu 'abdun ta'm al-iman hatta yatruk al-kidhb hazluhu wa jiddu." A person will not taste the sweetness of faith and iman unless he doesn't lie, whether serious lying or joking, even if it's a joke. Some people lie not seriously, but as a joke. You know, 2 more days, the 1st of April is coming, and you will see a lot of people lying, April fools. It might not be haram if it's a joke, but it negates this. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, if you want to taste the sweetness of iman, don't lie, even if it's a joke. Even if it's a joke, don't say it. La yajidu عَبْدٌ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يَتْرُكَ الْكِذْبَ هَزْلُهُ وَجَدُّهُ صَلَّى عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدْ. Now, there are some exceptions to lying. Fuqaha mentioned that there are some exceptions to lying. There are some cases in which lying is permissible. It's allowed. One of the most important cases in which lying is allowed, فالصلح. When you bring two people together. If two people had a fight, had an argument, had a quarrel, whether it's a husband or a wife, husband and wife, two brothers, two sisters, two cousins, two friends, two families, and if bringing them together requires lying, here Islam says you can lie. Because it's for a greater good. Islam says because you're bringing two people together, and this is more important in Islam, for two people to come back together, you can lie. This is a hadith. Al-Muslih laysa bikadhib. Al-Muslih laysa bikadhib. Thus you can go to one person and lie. For example, you go to a couple. This couple are not talking, they're separating, or they're separated. They're even thinking of divorce. You go to the wife and tell her, Yaba, I heard your husband say that he loves you. He can't live without you. He's having difficulty at night sleeping because you're not in the house. Even though he'd rather die than say these words, but it's okay. Say it. You go to the husband, you tell her that I heard your wife is saying that you're an amazing man and she'll never find someone better than you, even though she'd rather jump off of Big Ben than say these words. That's fine. As long as these words will bring them back together, al-muslih laysa bikadhib.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since today happens to be the 17th of the month of Safar, which according to a narration is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him, we now present you a mind-stimulating saying from the 8th infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. God surely hates gossip, squandering, and asking for financial help from the enemies.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We know that the tragedy of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the events that occurred afterwards cause or will cause or should cause any truth-seeking, any normal, you know, just individual to mourn or just to, you know, feel sadness. And also we know from other traditions that this sadness and mourning was not restricted or confined to us human beings. Even inanimate objects such as stones wept and mourned for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Things that we do not consider as living, for example trees, mourned for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And in this tradition we see that things that some people consider to be higher than us or better than us, which is not obviously the case, because it is this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was ordered to do prostration towards that reality and haqiqah of the human being, that the angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, who, so yes, some have very high status, but they are there in order to serve and to assist human beings. This is one of the duties of the angels. That they themselves, for a period of time, or rather according to this tradition, till the day of judgment, have been made responsible for mourning at the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Hence we see that the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam will never be absent of a mourner, because obviously the angels will always be there. And the tradition is quite fascinating. It's not that, you know, the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed the angels to do so. The tradition reads from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed to the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam 4,000 anguished and grief-stricken angels who weep over him and shall continue to do so right up to the day of judgment. So, you know, some people say that, you know, why do we mourn every year? Or why do, you know, you do it so long, 10 days, 40 days? You know, you should say, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
has appointed, has made responsible, has given as a duty 4,000 angels. Again, the 4,000 may just be a number to show vastness or grandeur or a lot. It may not be 4,000, it may be 4 million. Who knows? A lot of angels have been made responsible to continue to cry for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even if you and I don't. And they will do so right until the day of judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the true mourners of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to you, dear audience of this program. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several parts, all pertaining to the Holy Quran. At first, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Noble Quran, and then we are going to listen to him reciting some verses of the Holy Quran, preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Apart from these parts, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic parts too. So stay tuned. On August 12, 2010, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, at a Quranic meeting said, I deem it necessary to advise our fellow Qurra to work on translating of the Holy Quran. You should do this in a skillful way. Of course, memorizing the Holy Quran is very important in this regard as well. I hope that, by Allah's favor, you will be successful. IRIB English Radio presents
Let's Recite the Quran.
Recitation.
Tajweed Points.
Reciter's Biography.
Quranic Books.
Maqamat.
Translation.
Alhan.
Short Lecture.
All
in Let's Recite the Quran.
Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Anwar Shahat Anwar. Anwar Shahad Anwar, son of the late Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anwar, is one of the most prominent Quranic figures of the present day in the Islamic world. He was born in 1978 in Egypt, in a relatively busy family. You know, he had around 8 siblings. At the age of 6, he started Quran memorization, and at 12, he managed to memorize the entire Noble Quran. He learned Quran recitation under the care of Sheikh Abdul Latif. Anwar Shahad Anwar's tone of recitation is heavily influenced by his father's unique style. Now he is a doctorate graduate from Al-Azhar University in religious sciences. Dear audience, now let's listen to Sheikh Anwar Shahad Anwar reciting Surah to Quraysh, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. For the accustomed security of the Quraysh, their accustomed security in the caravan of winter and summer, let them worship the Lord of this house, who has fed them, saving them from hunger, and made them safe, saving them from fear.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah to Quraysh, recited by Sheikh Anwar Shahad Anwar. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This recitation was performed in the Islamic Republic of Iran, and Anwar Shahad is the eldest son of Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anwar.
Yes.
And he also follows the style of his father, just like his brother Mahmoud Shahad Anwar, mm-hmm. his younger brother. One of the maqamat that is very much used by Sheikh Shahad Anwar and also by his sons is Maqam Huzam, which is one of the branches of Maqam Sika. Okay, so we could say that it's Maqam Sika. Okay. It's the combination of Sika and Hijaz. Mm-hmm. If you listen to this maqam, you also hear Hijaz in between the sika. And this is a very artistic maqam. A person who is able to use this maqam correctly and perfectly, he is a very artistic reciter, just like Sheikh Shahat and his sons. And maqam sika is a very happy maqam, and it really suits the voice of Sheikh Shahat and his sons, because, you know, their voice is almost like their father, because it has very similarities.
And what is the outstanding figure of their voice?
Their voice has this special joyfulness, and it's a kind of beauty. It doesn't really have huzn that much. Okay?
Okay.
It's the opposite of reciters like Abdul Basit and other reciters. Okay, on to the tajweed points.
Good idea.
لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. We have a ra with fatha. You have to pronounce it with tafkhim, with thickness. قُرَيْش, ra. You shouldn't say قُرَيْش, رَيْش. This is with thinness.
Yes.
Because it has a fatha, you have to pronounce it with thickness.
Full, with the full mouth.
Yes, with the full mouth. Now we have the opposite of tafkhim in the word rihlata. Rihlata shita. The ra in rihla has a kasra.
So it should be pronounced.
It should be pronounced with thinness, with tawqiq, with an empty mouth, like you said. For tafkhim, we had a full mouth. Here we have an empty mouth.
That's right.
In the word shita, we have maddul muttasil. You have to pronounce, actually you have to lengthen the mad to either four or five vowel counts. Okay, and I think Sheikh Anwar Shahat lengthened it to five vowel counts, the maximum number of vowel counts. Al-Saif, the sod was pronounced very well by Sheikh Anwar Shahat. Al-Saif, sod has tafkhim at the second highest level because it has a fatha. So you shouldn't say a saif. If you say a saif,
looks
you
like a
theme. Pronounced the sod correctly with enough tafkhim. Saif, saif, saif. Min juwain. Here we have a nun sakina followed by jim, which is
ikhfa
of nun sakina. You have to approximate the place of articulation of jim and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts, like this. Min-ju-ren. It's like I'm hinting the place of articulation of jim. The listener of the Quran can predict what letter is going to come after the nun sakina, since we are hinting and approximating the place of articulation of jim. وَأَمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. It's very interesting that at the end of all of these verses of Surah Quraysh, we have مَدُّلِّينَ. مَدُّلِّينَ, it's interesting. And you can see this reciter takes advantage of this. And he applies various voice techniques at the end of each verse.
Okay, yes. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. And thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned.
Imam Khomeini says, if you want to reach mercy of God, if you want to reach rahmate wasi'ah, because as you know, the Quran says that Allah's rahmah is all-inclusive. Rahmati wasa'at kulla shay. My mercy embraces everything. Imam Khomeini says, if you want to reach that inclusive rahmah, you have to follow the Quran. You have to follow the word of God. He says, if there were any other way to reach that rahmah, Allah would have shown us. And if there was a way to force people to rahmah, Allah would have forced us. But there is no way to reach this by force, and there is no other way to describe better than what is described in the Quran.
Dear audience, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until our next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي اشرح صدري قرآن.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint. A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Javad, hosting this program, and my dear guests, as always, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Brother Hussein, salam alaikum, welcome to the program.
Alaykum as-salam. Glad to be here.
Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Before we start criticizing the movie and interview with God, let's take a listen to a part of this movie, and then we'll be back.
I hear people say, I lost faith. I picture them giving up. It wasn't like that for me. Hey, Gary.
What are you doing here?
I'm working on something. I'm doing an interview.
With who?
Paul Esch, with Errol. I know who you are. I know all your work. I'm a fan. I cover religion for a secular paper. The stuff I write usually ends up in the lifestyle section. Okay, today is June 1st. Please say your name and spell it. I'm God, G-O-D.
You just listened to a part of the movie, An Interview with God. This is a 2018 drama film directed by Perry Lang. The whole story is about an up-and-coming journalist. Faith is challenged when he finds himself interviewing a man who claims to be God. The box office is very low in comparison with the lots of movies, especially the movies that we criticize even in this very program. That was nothing but 2.3 million. Well, essentially, when I looked at the reviews, 60% of critics' reviews were somehow positive. Even Rotten Tomatoes gave the average rating of 6.38 out of 10. All right, I'm going to start with you, Sayyid Abdullah. How did you like this movie?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The movie was quite interesting in one sense, boring in another sense. It was interesting in the sense that it was raising the question that pretty much everyone always asks, or Christianity or Muslims or even atheists ask about God and things like that, why this happened, why that happened, and our calls to God himself Because as human beings, we constantly have interview with gods,
mm-hmm.
if we think about it, right? When something happens in your life and you start to question things, and you'll find at times, you'll if you squeeze your brain, you'll find you are actually having, at some points of your life, you'll find yourself having an interview with God. Like, God, why is this doing this to me? And if you're a religious person, you would answer yourself from your own text. For example, as a Muslim said, God, why did you take my mom? And then I would say, oh, God says, well, we take her to a better place, this and that. So I would answer myself. But this is, it's an interview.
Yes, with basically. God, right? Or a so conversation.
Or a conversation with God. Because we have a book by a priest, a conversation with God, which is quite interesting, quite beautiful. So we have that.
I also translated the book from Persian into English, Conversation with God. I talk with God.
Beautiful. So it's a beautiful book. I really loved it. And so because this is part of our life, we always constantly conversing with Allah or with God.
Yes.
So this part of the movie was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That part that I find quite boring is just also, it's a repetitive, questioning of why evil happens, why this happens to me, why, you know, the constant nagging that we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's just very repetitive. And it's been answered over and over and over and over again.
Yes. Brother Hussein, how did you like the movie? And do you think of anything when it comes to the title of this movie? In comparison with the previous movie that we discussed, we could have said that God is not dead is a kind of reaction to Nietzsche's statement that God is dead when he said in 1800, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think of his title and how did you like it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I feel like it was a well-directed film. It's kind of off-putting, a little bit awkward. The main character, Paul, he was clearly in distress.
Mm-hmm.
But let's focus on the title, An Interview with God.
Yes.
In that sense, Brother Abdullah said, we are are always and constantly interviewing God.
Mm-hmm.
We pray, our salah, that's us talking to him. We pray to him by raising our hands and telling him what we need and what we want. And then he talks back using the Quran.
Yes.
He tells us, this is in regards to this, and this ayah is in regards to this situation. And that's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be back continuing our program and our criticism or critique of the movie and interview with God. Don't go away.
Okay, today is June 1st. Please say your name and spell it.
I'm God, G-O-D.
Okay, great. Let's start. Thanks for agreeing to do this interview.
Yeah, well, you agreed, but you're welcome.
Oh, can I get a shot of you?
Sure.
So no problem you showing up in a photo?
Well, I'm a deity, not a vampire.
I gotta say, you look human enough to me.
And you know, you look godlike to me.
I get that. Genesis in his image. That's pretty funny.
Thank you.
So, why did you agree to do this interview?
I talk to my children all the time.
I see. So I'm one of your children.
Of course.
Okay, well, there's a name for people you usually talk to like this.
Lucky?
I think I meant prophets.
Oh, sure. Yes, but that's what they're called after I speak to them. And before that, many of them weren't too happy to see me when I showed up. At least not at first.
Right. A burning bush, a pillar of fire, pretty dramatic stuff.
You just listened to a part of the movie, An Interview with God, in this program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. Well, Brother Hussein, in this part, we see that, or the whole movie, in fact, is trying to say that God can take or assume a kind of human form, right? And this is a kind of common view in Christianity. We don't have it in the other religions, especially all claiming to be monotheistic, right? But now that you can see that this Christian movie, in fact, talks about, rather looks Christian to me, this movie.
Yeah, it is
a Christian. Yeah, but to some extent, this movie tries to, look at religion from a broader perspective rather than one particular religion. But most often, because the major character of the movie, Paul, in this movie, who happens to be Brenton Thwaites, if I'm not mistaken in terms of its pronunciation, This dude is from New Zealand, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Brother Abdullah, right?
Brendan Thwaite is actually Australian. He's one of our own.
Oh,
One
of your homeboys.
Yeah, one of our homeboys. He was one of the actors in... we have a soap opera called Home and Away. He was one of these actors.
Well, Brother Hussein, do you think that God can take a human form at all?
The short answer is no. See, I'm going to tackle this problem as a Muslim. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in the movie, he was clearly going through a lot mentally. And it's clear that it was having an effect on his life.
Yes.
Okay? You could see like a strain on his marriage, his friends, and even his coworkers and boss.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So from that point on, you can see how it plays out during the rest of the movie and how him meeting with the man who claims he's God takes a turn for the better or for the worse. I feel like because, you know, in the beginning, he was coming back from Afghanistan, and
mm-hmm.
he's seen a lot. He's a reporter. He has to go to these very sensitive areas.
Yes.
He sees a lot of dramatic stuff. And, you know, most of these people who come back from these war zones, they have PTSD, like his friend,
exactly.
like his friend Matt,
yes.
right? And some people, and they stress this a lot in the movie, some people don't really show it. You can't really see the signs. You say, oh, he's very normal. But
mm-hmm.
actually, he's going through a lot
yes.
okay, inside. I feel like, as a Muslim, looking at this movie, I feel like this dude was going through a mental phase. Okay? It wasn't
yes.
really him seeing God. It was just a guy, or maybe the guy didn't even exist because he was alone, right? And like the entire scenario doesn't really make sense. Okay, this magical man who has no name, who died in Afghanistan 12
yes.
years ago.
Or God appeared in the form of a dead person.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Like, it doesn't really add up to me. I mean, maybe it would make sense if
uh-huh.
I was, like, a Christian and I had this background. But
yes.
as a Muslim, I don't see it. I feel like he was going through this phase.
Yes.
And it was a mental thing. And then, you know, whatever way gives you closure, as long as it works for you,
mm-hmm.
even if you're imagining angels or demons or whatever, if it helps you out, then I guess by all means.
Yes, good. Sayyid Abdullah, do you agree with my statement earlier that I said this movie tries to look at everything from a broader perspective? There is this mention of like all of the godly or godlike characters, like Paul, for example, states that God created man in his image. And then there is the mention of God talking to his children all the time. That is what we know from Christianity. Or the burning bush and a pillar of fire from Judaism.
Mm.
Right? There is no mention of Islam, though.
Yeah.
Right? Do you agree with this perspective of looking at everything from rather an umbrella term rather than one particular religion?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, and definitely the movie itself does not take a religious form. It's not, you can't say it's Christianity or Judaism or any. So the question were raised were general, and the answers that were given were also general.
Exactly.
So, but
that was my feeling.
Yeah, so it's exactly what you said. So the theme itself is religious, but did not specify to one religion.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of God is there. And God comes across, and he a few
yes.
times he mentioned that there are prophets. And he said, well, am I a prophet because now I'm talking to you? So anyone who God talks to becomes a prophet, which means God could appear to anyone. Doesn't matter their faith, doesn't matter their religion, doesn't matter their color. And they would be prophets because they speak to God.
Exactly.
So yes, so definitely the idea of this movie was that it's broader depiction of religions
mm-hmm.
rather than have it
yes.
Specified to just one religion.
Exactly. Let's take a listen to another part of the movie, an interview with God, and we'll continue our program.
How old are you? Time is different for me than it is for you. I mean, I exist outside of time. After all, I created time.
Right. Where do you come from?
Paul, I think this interview would be more productive if we don't waste time on questions to which you already know the answer.
You just listened to another part of the movie, an interview with God. This is a 2018 drama film directed by Per Lang. And in this part, Brother Hussein, there is the mention of God's age and time that Paul, this journalist, asks
yeah.
in his interview with God. This is the first interview, basically, with God.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Then he asks, "How old are you?"
How old are you?
Yes.
Okay.
He asks God, "How old are you?"
Yeah.
That person playing the part of God put it in a very different manner. And then he answered that time is different. He took a kind of relativist look at time and everything else that he was talking about, right?
Yeah, he sort of said, I don't have any age, right? Something
yes,
like
exactly.
That.
And after that, he asked about his place. Like, where do you come from?
Yeah.
All right. So, do you believe that this way of looking at things is somehow pushing the idea of relativism?
You know, it really depends on each situation. You have to look at what you have. I mean, for example, you know, with God or anything that's like immortal, which is only God, actually, everything dies. But everything that's like, for example, stuff that's intangible, I mean, you know, they don't really have a time because, you know, it's like, for example, like a feeling or
mm-hmm.
a belief or anything like that. Okay? God is not human like us. He doesn't have any physical form, so he can't, you know, take up like a space or, you know, he's not like old or young or there's no age
because
involved.
We are material beings, we
yeah.
are material entities. Usually we are time bound and we are place bound,
yeah.
right? But that doesn't necessarily the case with God.
Of course.
Because
right?
Because God is not like material,
yeah.
so he's not bound by a time and place.
That is
right?
true.
Okay. Sayyid Abdullah, any comments on this?
The thing is, like, actually he said to him a very beautiful answer.
Yes.
He said to him, I created time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He said, so I am beyond time. Time does not govern me. I am the governor of time. Time governs you, but does not govern me. So because
yes.
I am the creator of time. So even it's not a matter for relativity. It's like time is a creation, and I am the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a beautiful answer,
yes.
if you paid attention
exactly,
to it.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening to the program, to your point. We were criticizing the movie An Interview with God in this program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're saying, yes. This interview, it's eating me up.
It's really an interview?
Yeah.
With God.
You're telling me to pray. Can't hurt.
I'd like to talk to you about salvation, Paul.
So you're here to save me.
Do you need saving?
And everyone?
We try to be good people, try to please you, and we need some answers. And where did you go? You have any idea how that feels?
Sometimes there aren't signs when someone's in trouble.
Paul, I've given you a great gift. But it's up to you to receive my gift before it's too late. Your life is not an audition for the afterlife. I don't even know why I agreed to this.
Who are you?
You know who I am.
Interview with God. I love it.
You're kidding.
About time God made the front page, you disagree.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.